Should we blame the government or blame society?
Or should we blame the images on TV?
No, blame Canada!
Blame Canada!
For their beady little eyes and flapping heads so full of lies.
Blame Canada! Blame Canada!
We need to form a full assault!
All right, folks, welcome into a quick and short episode of the Fourth Official Podcast. My name's Austin David. Gavin Eubank, he is not in studio, but he's around.
I'm in my own studio up in Palm Coast.
There you go.
There's that.
It's not as good quality, though. You can tell.
I'd say for Palm Coast, this is considered good quality.
Folks, this is a reminder to never move to Palm Coast.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily go that. We're just now getting a... Chipotle's coming to town. They're building another Starbucks. They're rebuilding the old Starbucks. The burnt down Dunkin's about to reopen. That's exciting. Taco Bell, new Taco Bell.
You're really not making a better case for yourself here.
I think I'm making a pretty good case. I mean, if you want to be in a town where you're bored 90% of the time, move to Palm Coast. If you want to just only go to like a Publix or a McDonald's, move to Palm Coast.
All right. Well, I mean, it could be for somebody, but probably not for a lot of people.
I mean, if you're looking to retire, I guess.
Yes.
And die. It's a good place to die.
So is that why you're still there?
Yeah. I mean, I'm on the verge of dying pretty much, it seems like. So I better get out as quickly as I can.
All right. Well, the reason this is going to be a quick and short episode is because, well, just about 20, 25, 30 minutes ago, sometime in between, Orlando City lost 2-1 to Toronto, and we figured, hey, I'm kind of near the studio, and Gavin's around. We're going to get Brent, but he died again. And then Brad, I don't know what happened to him.
ISIS wouldn't release Brent for the short time that it took a straight cord. They said it wasn't worth it.
Mm.
Brad, I don't know. I'm sure he's at some important meeting at the Mar-a-Lago right now. You know, all those dignitaries are always there. And Kyle is...
he's watching the Pens. The Pens
Kyle's game. Got his pants down watching the Penguins play right now. So there's not really else much I can say about that.
You know, I actually don't doubt that he has his pants off watching the game.
I believe that he usually watches them fully naked.
It sounds viable. We'll have to ask him next week if he actually.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past that kid.
Anyway, 2-1 the final. Orlando City lost their second game out of three games away from home. They have obviously not lost a home game yet, which is one of the reasons they are still in first place. So let's kind of break it down. Giovinco scores in the 9th minute. Not great. Bad defending. Good shot from Giovinco, though. Got to give him a bit of credit. Then you go a little bit further on in the game. Orlando's starting to get into the game. They start controlling the pace. They start getting chances, getting a lot of possession. And then Giovinco scores again. Not great. 38th minute scores. And off a broken play, Joe Bendik pushes the ball away. No one able to clear it. Victor Vasquez ends up slotting it over to Giovinco, who finishes near post as Bendik was still getting up from the ground. Spector tried to head it away, but it glanced right over his head and into goal. So, early hole for Orlando. Right before halftime, though, Orlando takes a short corner. They were taking these all game long, probably by design just because of something they saw in film, and it worked. No one marked Kaká, who was the corner taker. And he was near post from the corner kick and finished it into the roof of the net, 2-1 at half. Second half starts. Orlando City dominate possession, get a lot of good chances, but nothing on goal. Kyle Larin has a few good chances, and Alex Bono comes up with some pretty big saves. Now, you could argue Larin should have done better, which he absolutely should have. But at the same time, you got to give credit to Bono for making those saves. And, you know, Larin probably has tired legs because he's been playing 90 minutes for every single game up to this point. I think the first game is the only game he didn't play 90 minutes. So you take those factors into consideration. They play against a a system which has the wingbacks, the 3-5-2, and the diamond isn't really designed to defend well against that. And you saw on that second goal where they were stretched very thin and the wingback was wide open on the far side, which led to the cross, which led to the save, which then led to the goal. And that's the weakness of the diamond, especially in that wide formation that Toronto plays. And you saw it in preseason as well when Toronto played Orlando City. Even when they were on the flat 4-4-2, the wingbacks just gave them fits. And it's very hard to defend against because it's so against the normal marking plan that they usually have. And on a short week, it's tough for Orlando to prepare for that, having prepared for every other game the way they have. So, considering all of those factors, I can't be upset about the performance. Individual performances, they just look like tired legs. They still were in it for most of the game. I don't think they were ever out of the game. Maybe the last 2 minutes of the game when the tired legs were very evident. Other than that, you know, I'm fine with it. Gavin, I talked a lot. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's easy to look at... It's easy to look at a loss and say, you know, that obviously wasn't a great performance, but I think this is one of those few exceptions to that thought. You know, the team came out, they played a really quiet, they played a really unproductive first half. I thought the absence of missing both Antonio Nocerino and Will Johnson did a lot against them. I think you can make a case that having those two in the lineup, we're talking about a completely different ball game because of the way that the team defended in the first half. They lost a lot of that defensive blanket that those two provide, and specifically on that first goal that Giambinco scored. But when you look at the positive side of things, you have to give a lot of credit to the team for their ability to not go down two goals and call it a night. They can go on two goals on the road in Toronto. It's easy to pack it up and say, all right, guys, let's start focusing on Houston now. But they got that goal from Kakar right at the end of the half, and I think that gave them a lot of momentum going into halftime because you saw a completely different ball game in that second half where it was basically flipped around. It was Orlando, you know, holding possession, getting the chances, but Toronto struggled to do all that. And then you get these opportunities. They have a couple of really, really close chances from Kyle Lahren that you know they're going to be looking back on and saying, you know, man, we just got those. We're looking at 3 points and we're going to Houston in amazing shape right now. And I'm sure Kyle's going to be beating himself up in the locker room all night over those two. But you can't be upset with this result. And I know there's going to be people that are going to be upset with this result and they're going to nitpick a lot of the things that went wrong, but there were still a lot of the things that went right. You know, I thought Carlos Rivas had a couple of good balls forward. They just couldn't get anything there. Tommy Redding, arguably one of his best games in Major League Soccer. He was outstanding on Jozy Altidore. He had a couple of really big moments on Giovinco, too, in the second half that really stood out to me. Scott Sutter, again, another fantastic performance for him. I think him and Tommy were competing right up there for man of the match. Jonathan Spector was good again also. And, you know, I think it's easy, you know, you could say, yeah, they lost the game. They let up two goals, but the defense actually did play pretty well for most of the match. You know, I look around at some of the sub choices I thought were interesting. I thought for sure that we would see Giles Barnes come on at some point. I thought maybe as the game came on that we would see it for Luis Gil. I didn't think Gil was that impressive in his first start. He definitely didn't do a lot. They moved him over to, I believe it was the right side in the second half when Barnes came on. He actually did look a little bit better and he was starting to come into his own, but you know, like I said, it's a loss. Yeah, at the end of the day, they didn't get any points out of it. But this is going to be a game where Jason Kreis probably looks at it and says, yeah, we lost the game, but there were still some positives, and it's nothing to hang our heads down. I mean, they've got another game coming up in 3 days in Houston, and I'm sure they're going to be in a lot better shape than they were today.
Yeah, and we talk about it all the time. Away games and home games in MLS. You know, you win your home games, which Orlando have, and you get a few draws here and there in away games, you're in the playoffs. And if Orlando continue their form at home, which has been stellar, you don't really worry about this team making the playoffs. You know, if anything, you're talking, because, you know, this past week, they were number one in the ESPN power rankings. They were number two in MLS power rankings. you know, people are starting to buy into this team and understand that, you know, this team has made vast improvements from last year to this year. Everyone's buying into the system that Jason Kreis has presented to them. But at the same time, you know, with Gill, he hasn't been there very long. He's only been there a few weeks. And it takes time for him to mesh and get a number of games under his belt to, you know, really fully incorporate himself within the team. You know, he's only come on for 15, 20 minute spurts towards end of games where he's been okay, but not great. And I think you look back at what he was doing with Real Salt Lake back in the day. If he can get back to that form, you know, not spectacular, but good. I think the one person that can do that for him is Jason Kreis and the system that they play.
Yeah, and I mean, I completely agree. And I was kind of happy to get to see him to play and start this game for the first time because, you know, like you said, we haven't really seen much of him. I've wanted to get the opportunity to see what this guy's really about and what he's actually going to give Orlando. You know, I saw some glimpses of things, you know, defensively. I think that was more of what his role was going to be. He played a lot deeper. You didn't see him come up the field a lot. And, you know, even the passes that he sent up weren't that great. I'm going to find the passing stats for today. But I think the big story here is this is a game that Orlando absolutely had the opportunity to win. I mean, just look at the stats here. Let me get these up here. Possession, 57%. Yeah. Passing accuracy, 84%. 522 total passes, 27 crosses, 5 corners. They outshot Toronto. They had equal amount of shots on goal. They blocked a few shots. This was a game that they absolutely dominated, and a lot of that was contributed to what they were able to do in the second half. But the opportunity was there for Orlando. Last year, I think this is a game, you know, last year, the year before, I think this is a game. They go down 2-0 early. They probably give up two. They probably give up at least another goal, maybe two goals. And you don't see this kind of effort and you don't see this kind of performance that in the second half makes you think, all right, well, they're not out of it yet. Well, there's still an opportunity for the team to get this goal. And that was not there before. It's there now. And I think that's a big thing to take away from this game.
And you talk about, you know, the games last year. This is definitely a game that Orlando City, I mean, they lost every time they played in Toronto. Toronto is not a very friendly place for Orlando City to play.
Exactly. And that's the thing. We've seen it in Toronto. They'll give up a goal early and then it's a 5-0 scoreline, a 4-1 scoreline, you know, that it gets out of hand quickly, but you're not seeing that with this team anymore.
Yeah. As a matter of fact,
not up to this point.
The last time actually last year that Toronto and Orlando played was towards the end of the season. And it was a 0-0 draw.
Yes, in Toronto too.
Right. That was, September 28th.
And that was the thing is even we saw from those teams, you know, the composure and the ability to compete in tough road games that we saw last year is carried over to this year. Because you talk about that 1-1 draw or that scoreless draw in Toronto and late in the year. There was that other scoreless draw in Colorado. That was a really tough game that they were able to take a point out of, and it's carried over. And now we're starting to see those that build up with more consistency now where they're actually scoring goals and defending them as well.
Yeah, and, you know, again, this is one of those games where you kind of take a look back. I think Jason Kreis at the end of the game, he said, when we give our all, we're good. When we're not good enough. And I think that goes back to you miss some of the leaders on the field. You miss Will Johnson, who was out with an illness. You miss Nocerino, who's out still healing from his hamstring issue. Those guys are very vocal on the pitch. They really dominate the midfield, not only by their play, but by their presence, by their vocal leadership within the team, you know, to guide different players where they want them to go. It's a different team with those guys on the field. You know, you had Spector, who's a vocal leader for the back line, which is why they probably didn't give up as many goals as they could have. Imagine if they had rested him along with Nocerino and Will Johnson. That would have been a nightmare. But at the same time, missing just those two guys, I think was really, really influential on the result and why they couldn't really push forward towards the end of the match and give it 110%. I think they kind of died off. And you can argue that's tired legs, but at the same time, they needed that extra push. And Will Johnson, Jonathan Spector, Nocerino, they all give that team just that little bit of push. They get them to buy into it. And I think that's what one thing that they were missing tonight.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you there. When you look at, you know, Luis Gil's obviously not that kind of vocal leader. Servando Carrasco is that, but he's not yet that same. And you're obviously not going to get that kind of stuff from Christian Aguita. Kaká plays that role. He plays that leadership role, but it's in a different role. He's in an attacking role, and he's trying to guide the offense, and he's trying to, you know, keep things fluid in the attack. He's not going to direct those guys defensively, whereas those two, you know, Noshirino and Jonathan would. And like I said, you know, you can make an argument that we're talking about a completely different game with those guys on the lineup, and it's going to be really interesting to see if they're ready to go in Houston. I really hope they would be, because like you said, you know, this could have been a game they rested Jonathan Spector. I think that might come in Houston now. If you get those guys back, Jose Aja has been on the bench now a couple of days in a row. I think you might be able to get him into a lineup with Tommy Redding. We'll see how things play out coming over the next few days, though.
Yeah, and again, you got another game coming up in Houston. Hopefully Will Johnson's not sick by then. Noshirino, I would assume, plays after having rested today. He's still able to play. He's been playing for the most part, even though he has an injured hamstring. So I'd assume he plays. I'd assume Kaká comes on as a sub. I think Laren maybe starts off on the bench and comes in late in the game. Maybe Barnes starts, because he just looked gassed. I mean, Laren, out of everybody on the pitch, he looked the most like he needed a rest, because we talked about it earlier. He hasn't been getting much of a rest. The only game that he came out for was the first game. Every other game, he's put in full 90 minutes.
Exactly. We're used to seeing that from Laren. I mean, he plays a lot. You know, people dog him all the time for maybe he's not hustling, but this guy puts in a lot of effort and a lot of time. You know, it's not just, you know, running at the ball. It's trying to using all of your strength to work off these defenders and trying to create opportunities in the air. And there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, like, he's a big, strong guy. He exerts a lot of energy through matches, and I think it's only natural to see him kind of slow down like this, especially when you're talking 3 days after playing a full 90 minutes in a very humid, hot game in Orlando. It's not something unexpected, really. It's not like we're just seeing this out of nowhere.
Yeah, and just to mention here, Kyle Laren, through all 3 years that he has played in MLS, well, two and a bit now, he has played the most minutes out of any player for Orlando City. He's played 4,975, not including tonight, and Kaká's played 4,435. All right, that's almost a 500-minute difference between first and second. That just shows you how much Laren is out there all the time, not getting rest. I mean, he's played more than Bendik, who's played 90 minutes for every single match all of last year. So top five is Laren, Kaká, Higuita, Hines, and Bowden. Then you have Bendik, Saren, Shea, Carrasco, and Ramos. So it's interesting. It's just interesting to see that there and realize how much of a gap there is between Laren and Kaká in terms of minutes played. And that's just first and second all time. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, that's absolutely. I mean, like I said, he puts on a lot of work, and it shows. That's unquestionable.
Yeah. All right. You have anything else to say about this game, or are we just going to end it here and give the people what they want?
Oh, let me look. I don't really, like I said, I mean, they had the opportunities presented itself in ways that you normally wouldn't see, and that didn't come for Toronto, and they just couldn't capitalize on them. You know, there's really nothing you can do about it. And now they got to keep their heads up and carry the same kind of performance into Houston, which is going to be, you know, Houston's not a giveaway. It's not a giveaway game at this point. It's, you know, the way Cubo Torres is playing this year, he's going to be a guy that can, you know, make things happen against Orlando. And it's going to be a very tough battle. Again, it's going to be another, you know, in Houston, it's obviously going to be very hot. They're coming off short rest again. You're traveling from Orlando to Toronto down to Houston. That's a lot of miles on the body, and it's going to be very, very important for Orlando to to regenerate this energy going into that weekend matchup.
Yeah, just a note here, high of 84 on Saturday for the Houston game with a humidity of 36%. So it'll feel kind of hot.
Yeah.
But again,
at least it's what, a 7 p.m. kickoff, so they've got that going for them.
Yeah, that'll dip just around 80, but it'll probably feel about 85. But again, you know, Orlando's been training in hot weather over the last few weeks, or a few days, shall I say, so they should be prepared for it. But it's another away game. It's another travel day. It's another, you know, rest and recovery. This is kind of where you start to see what this team is made of because of coming off this away game on Saturday. They do have a full 7 days before they play again, and that's against one of the best teams in the league right now, Sporting Kansas City. And then right back after that, they go into another midweek game, and that's away from home in San Jose. And then they play New York City FC back home on that Sunday.
Exactly. And the schedule gets very tough this month. And I know we mentioned the last time we recorded together after that game, you know, we talked about how well the team has been doing without guys like Jose Aja. We've seen it without Rafael Ramos. You know, the depth without Kaká has been stepping up. And it's going to be really important because, you know, we talk about those losses, but we haven't really seen Orlando's depth be used a lot so far. You know, like I said, this was the first time we've seen an actual, you know, dramatically different lineup from Christ so far through 8 games. And it's going to be very important for those guys on the roster, like a Luis Gil, like a Victor Pirlo, like an Aja.
Sorry, did you say Victor Pirlo?
Pirlo, PC, whatever you want to call him.
Victor Giro, PC,
Victor,
yes.
Giro, yeah.
Okay,
it's going to be very important for these guys, though, to step up and be able to play. You know, we saw Tony Rocha get his first action of the season tonight. It probably won't be the last time we see him this month. Leo Pereira, is that how I say it?
Pereira,
you know, he was on the bench tonight, and it's going to be, you know, you might see him come up, especially with Tommy Redding is probably going to be leaving for the Under-20 World Cup after this game in Houston. Mm-hmm. That's a body that they're going to miss, and you're going to see these guys have to be used a lot more, especially, you know, a guy like Haji Berry, Richie Larea, these guys that are the guys that have been playing with OCB. The depth is going to start to come in a lot more, and that's really going to test where Orlando City is as a team in the rest of the league compared to some of these other teams that, you know, like a Seattle, that's, you know, they've got the bodies to be able to withstand this kind of schedule.
Absolutely. All right, well, that's it. I think we're done. It's been about 22 minutes, so we'll end it there. Just to lighten the mood a little bit, we'll end it with one of the more interesting baseball calls that I've ever heard. It's not soccer related, but it's just funny. You know, give it a listen, and we'll see you next week for a real episode. So, yeah.